Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. I have a business called Synergy Relationship Coaching. And people say, well, what's a relationship coach? Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask my oldest son, well, I'm a shrink in denial. If you ask my daughter, she would say, you know what? My mom helps people get along. You know, if you ask me, I say, I give people tools, the actual equipment to go out on the field and score in the game of life and their relationships. And by then, I probably would have lost the person. Synergy is about what we create when we come together. I help people by focusing on what's right about them instead of trying to fix what's wrong. But really, what is synergy? Well, I've got a lot of information to go over today. So I actually have my laptop in front of me and I'm going to be looking at it probably two or three times a minute. So just be patient with me. I wanted to get the literal definition from the Oxford Dictionary, right? Because we want good English stuff, not necessarily vernacular of the United States. So let's go to the source. Synergy. The definition is coming together with others. Well, it's the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or other agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. Well, the sum, right, the total, actually, whole amount, is greater than the sum of its parts if we just add it together. So let's think about that just in practical terms. I picked four numbers, 2, 4, 6, and 8. If you add 2 plus 4 plus 6 plus 8, you'll get 20. Well, if you multiply 2 times 4 times 6 times 8, well, it's 384. That's a lot more. What about exponentially? When we come together, the power that we have as humans over each other, with each other, for each other. Think about that. Well, you know what? 192, that's 4 plus 6 plus 8 multiplied. That's 192. But you take 192 to the second power, just a 2. You know what? That's just a 2. 192 to the second power, 2. That's 147,456. A 2 seems like a small number, doesn't it? But when we're talking about human relationships, even if you think you're small, you're still pretty big, because when humans come together, we're not like animals. We need each other and we love each other, even when we hate each other. There's still a lot of intense emotion there. And I've always told people, there is no neutral energy. Your energy is either positive or negative. Even indifference, which seems to be, I don't care, that's negative. When you have impact on other people and you know that saying, I don't care about you, actually harms them. You are responsible for that kind of power. You have power with the things that you say and do over the people, not even that you directly interact with, the people that are around you, feeling you interacting with other people. Who do you believe you're accountable to for your actions? Some people would say, religious people would say, a higher power. Someone else is going to hold me accountable. There may be a consequence. There may be a punishment. There may be a reward. Well, you know what? Not everybody believes that. Some people are atheists. Some people are agnostic. Okay, we're still accountable to each other. Sometimes if we have a position of authority in someone else's life, we're accountable for that person. As parents, we really do have a heavy responsibility, because not only do we need to take care of someone like a child, we need to teach them how to be without us. That's pretty heavy. And that's important to remember in all relationships. We affect each other. Now, when there's a very good movie with a very good actor that I happen to love, I think I was 8. Maybe 7, when I told my father I had fallen in love with him. It was Jack Nicholson. He screamed at Tom Cruise in a courtroom, you can't handle the truth. That was, wow. But you know what? He could get away with it. It would have sounded different coming from a different actor, and it would have sounded different if he hadn't been screaming it. But the reason it resonated with people, it was a huge movie. That line was pretty much the line that sold the whole movie, because we all kind of knew that there was some truth to that. We just can't handle the truth. There was a lot of mental illness when I was growing up that became almost cachet to label yourself with some kind of mental illness. But 12-step groups were becoming very popular because people were in denial. Denial. You're in denial. And the love. That was a very casually thrown around word. But there is a very huge danger being in denial. My father actually presented it to me way before any of these buzzwords, you could almost call them buzzwords, were embraced by the American population. We were arguing one day and he got just very somber. He got very serious and he said, "Honey, you better be careful. When you lie to strangers, you're going to miss out on great opportunities in life. When you lie to your friends and family, you're going to die alone. When you lie to yourself, it's all over. You don't have anything left. You may as well just pack it up." I wasn't lying. I don't want to, and he walked away and I went, "Okay. Okay." Lying to myself. Do I lie to my everything from my life then changed to, wow, you know what? I actually became part of a religion that called themselves the truth. So it said right there in a black book that Satan was the father of the lie. Okay. So children of Satan, I think Jesus said at one point to some religious leaders, wow. How honest are we with ourselves? How equipped are we to be honest with ourselves? We're never going to be more honest with anybody else than we are with ourselves. So let's just stop and take a step back. I genuinely believe that people are good, and I give them that sort of, freebie. Just, yeah, my approach to them is I'm going to assume the best before I have to prepare for the worst, because I think, again, with synergy, positive is very powerful. And even if they weren't necessarily in a high quality state before I showed up, that good energy, that good attitude and mentality is good for them because it will create something positive. But what I think is, I had an experience earlier this week. I thought, wow, I just need to help my viewers and my listeners start all the way back at the very beginning. You know what? This show, we're going to take some time to take a personal inventory. Ask yourself, how comfortable are you being honest with yourself? How objectively can you look at yourself? So then, when you know that what you bring to any social situation, any kind of relationship, is going to have an exponential effect on not only the person that you're with, but the people that you are around. Let's take a look and see what we're working with for ourselves, with ourselves individually. Now I'm going to move kind of fast because I have actually 11 topics to cover today. The situation that kind of got me sort of taking this angle for the show, she just lives a couple apartments down from me, and she seemed like she was interested in getting some help from a relationship coach. But she did kind of want to help my campaign because I'm helping homeless people, giving them coaching classes. I said, "Sure, yeah, let's go ahead and talk. I have some time today." She was very manipulative and she was very aggressive. She was passive aggressive and she would scream, but she would use her mental illness as an excuse. That's why she had a hard time. She wrote a book. She wanted me to read her book for her and give her some feedback. Wow, this woman is a very horribly, heinously evil woman. She just went on and on and on about grossly heinous things that I thought, okay, yes, she did have a tough childhood. Yes, she did have some life experiences that, yeah, she needs a lot of help to get over. Maybe I could help her as a coach. She's low income. Okay, I'd even be willing to help her with that. Not necessarily free, but discount. Well, you know what? When I went over there, she would say and do things that were provocational. Look, I'm provocative. I like to stimulate people. I like to encourage situations that get people really awake and alive and making them think and go, wow, you know what? But you know what? Provocational, she likes to fight, starting fights. And when she would insult everybody else in her life, and she was the total victim, and everyone else in her life was evil, and she didn't trust anybody, and she was so loving. Do you know what? When I actually called her out on some of her stuff, she devolved into a shark. Well, maybe a lion. Well, you know what? She tried to rip me to shreds. And when I actually started getting defensive, she accused me of insulting her. And I said, no, I'm trying to stop you from screaming at me and calling me names. And it got to the point where when she started crying, man, she was pulling out all the stops. I waited for her and I said, okay, now are we going to talk about what's really going on? Ooh, well, that was the last straw. She kicked me out. Well, great, because I said, I don't want to be around your toxicity. And I know that you don't really want to be better. You don't really want high quality help. You don't want self-improvement. Well, and then I come to find out she's a lesbian and she just wanted to sleep with me. Okay. That makes some a little bit of sense as to why she was pursuing me so much. But look, people are good. People are genuinely good. Yes, there are exceptions. There are people out there who just want to hurt everybody around them, but that's not true. So think about first, what is your opinion of other people? What do you believe about humanity in general? Okay, now the first thing we're going to talk about is spirituality. A lot of people like to say they're spiritual, not religious. Oh, and if anybody wants to call in, forgot about that part. The number is 888-627-6008. Okay, and my producer is Don, so you can go ahead and tell him your name and tell him your question, and then he'll let me know. Okay, so spirituality. I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Okay, what is that? Okay, let me see. I'm gonna try and summarize this. You know what? Let's just start with the fact that in this country, we go backwards. Think about it in the most simple terms: quantity and quality. Quantity is just the amount. Quality is the genuine product, the value of what it is that you're acquiring and accumulating in a large quantity. When we're talking about our soul, the spirituality of our soul, there are different levels of existence, right? Now, I learned in school the different levels of thought. There's knowledge, understanding, application, analysis, synthesis, conclusion, and evaluation. The higher you went up on the functional thought ladder, the higher quality you were as a soul. That's not true. There are a lot of people who have amazing thoughts, but the core of their being is toxic, like this woman. They can take amazing thoughts and do harm with them. So when we think about having, doing, being, okay, those are three different levels: having, doing, and being. There's more and there's better. So let's just start at the bottom. Having more, accumulating things in excess of abundance. That's just about being greedy. When you're only at about 10 to 15% of your quality core soul, you want to have more and more and more and more and more, just because there's sheer greed there. There's an absence of unselfish love. Love is what makes us healthy, spiritually happy. Well, love is an abstract concept, so let's go to the next level. Just take it one step at a time. Having better. Okay, so you actually do want to have something better, but what's that about? You know what? That's about competition. That's where you're still thinking about the me first, having better, not than yourself. Now you're taking a step outside of yourself and going, I want to have better than you. Because fundamentally, that's still your motivation. Okay, that's kind of scary. So there's having more than having better. Well, then there's doing more. Sometimes people want to do more, but you know what? That could end up being about distraction, just doing more. Okay, well, that means you're very, very busy. That means you can't relax. And when you're talking about you're avoiding looking at something, maybe the issue, something that really does need to be addressed and resolved by you, you're still not in a very healthy state. Well, how about doing better? All right, so I want to do better. Well, that's improvement. That's a good thing, right? Well, not necessarily, because if you're doing better, well, that means you're judging yourself. That means you're not necessarily good enough for you. That's still an unfortunate series of events in your life that's going on perpetually that you're creating in your world. You still need to get past the having more, having better, doing more, doing better. It's about being who you are. Well, being more, that's important because that's growth and self-improvement. And that's getting to where you're saying, you know what? I don't need to focus on external things. I'm getting to the source of, yeah, being more things than I was before. That means I have to learn new things. Yeah, okay. So that takes discipline and focus. We're going to talk about that a little later. But you know what? Really, the true top of functional, holistic being better. That's spirituality, not just being more things, but being better things. That's about quality. That's the quality of your thoughts and your feelings, which are the source of your words and your actions. Okay, well, that's easy, right? Just go to the church every week. You know what? Go to India and levitate for a couple hours. Read some good books. Or you know what, if you have your diet, then that'll get your body, you know, organic and you get something. That's no, actually, you know what, that's really tough because you need to look at a lot of things in your life, take an inventory, and then infuse yourself. But you're not really going to know yourself until you know your true nature. Now, I just finished my MBTI book. I've kind of been running in and out over it, you know, kind of making some modifications, getting some feedback. But I didn't really finish it until a few days ago because there were some things that I thought, you know, I wonder when my audience is going to read this, what do they really want to know most? Let's just get down to being a better quality soul. That's what it is. It's about your body and your mind and your heart with your spirit. Some people think the soul is just the spirit that leaves your body. I've always taught my students that no, the spirit is the electricity. Your heart, your mind, your body infused with that spirit is what becomes a soul. When your mind and your heart and your body don't have the spirit, they're just physical things. They can perform spiritual activities, but not without the spirit. But when the spirit leaves the body, it's just electricity. It's a force, a divine force, right? I do believe that there is a God, there are angels, there are spirits. The electricity of the spirit needs to be employed by our mind and our heart and our body. The body is the manifestation of the feelings that our mind creates. Okay, see, now that's getting kind of profound. It's getting a little bit deep. Let's go to, again, when I get to the percentages, the first one of having more is you're about 10%. The next one of having better is at about 20%. Doing more, you're at about 30%. Doing better, you're about 50%. Being more, you're at about 75%. When your goal is to be better, you are at 100% of your potential capacity. But now let's talk about your personality. Now, I'm not going to go into this a lot because I really do want to. I could talk about this for 2 hours, and I will in one of my webinars if you want to go ahead and check out my website. Now, there are four activities in life that everyone will have to do. You're not going to make it through the day if you are not able to do all of these activities. Your personality will only prefer to do certain ones. Okay. Two of them you want to do, two of them you do not want to do. But you're still going to have to do them. So before I go over the order that you should do them in, let's just get a good overview of what they are. There's sensing, there's intuition, there's thinking, and there's feeling. Now keep in mind that this is Myers-Briggs type indicator. MBTI is very popular and people don't understand it very well because there's an excess of information out there. Sensing is about where you focus your attention. It's external. Intuiting is you focusing your attention on something internal. Well, okay, let me explain that in a practical way. We've got five senses. They're always on. We see and hear and smell and feel, taste things, touch around us. Okay, look at this. We literally are not turned off. Even when we're asleep, our eyes and our ears and our nose and our mouth, our skin are always absorbing everything that the world and the people in it, our experiences, are providing to us. Okay, the sensor wants to be engaged in everything going on around them, but what that means is information is being dumped into a reservoir that our mind goes, okay, I'm going to look at all of these experiences the five senses have given me. I'm going to put together the pieces and create a complete thought. And then give the thought to the conscious mind and say, hey, you want to do something with this experience that the sensing has given me that I have put together, I have connected. Okay. Well, they're both going on all the time. You know what? An intuitive doesn't just wait for the mind to get that whole complete thought message. They focus on all of the things that their intuition is doing beneath the surface, behind the scenes, all day, every day in the subconscious mind. And you know what? Intuitives are amazing. They actually see that stuff. Yeah, sensors are very external. Intuitives are very internal. They're both vitally important. They are equally valuable. They are very, very vital to the success of humanity. The question is, which one are you? Are you sensory or are you intuitive? Okay, those are two of the letters, S and N. And the reason that intuitive starts with an I, but you pick the N is because the introverted has already been delegated to the I. Right, the eyes. Okay, and so when we're talking about the other two things, there's thinking and feeling. Now, again, people are very resistant to accepting thinking. Okay, we have a little technical difficulty. Okay, thinking does not mean you're smart, and feeling does not mean you're emotional. There are a lot of thinkers in the world who are very stupid people. Okay, and there are a lot of feelers in the world who are not emotional. Thinking is about making decisions in a logical, rational, analytical way to be objective, to be intelligent, decisions, 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 smart. Suppose again, feeling is about caring about other people when you make your decisions. Are the decisions that you make based more on taking care of other people? You know what? Sometimes that doesn't make sense, and that's okay. Sometimes people's needs aren't rational. That's okay. If you're a feeler, you prefer to make your personal decisions based on unselfish love for others. That's a good thing. Being a feeler is a generous thing. If you're a thinker, you prefer to make decisions based on what's smart, what really makes good sense, because in the world, a lot of things need to make sense in order to succeed. You are going to need to be a thinker some of the time. You're going to need to be a feeler some of the time. The question is, what do you do more? Okay, so we've got the sensing, the intuiting, the thinking, and the feeling. You have an order. There is a dominant function, an auxiliary function, a tertiary function, and an inferior function. What do you do most? What do you do least? What do you prefer to do? What are you really good at? Okay, yeah, there's going to be times when you're going to have to say, there's something that I don't want to do, but I have to do. Well, how much should you do each of those activities? Well, if it's your dominant function, you need to do it for 50% of your waking day. If you're awake for 16 hours a day because you're getting good rest, 8 hours of rest gives you 16 hours a day to be awake and active. If you spend 8 hours of your day doing your dominant function, you will be healthy and happy. Okay, well, your auxiliary function, you should only be doing that about 20 to 30% of your day. Your tertiary function, your dominant auxiliary tertiary function, you should only be doing that 15 to 20% of your waking day. And your inferior function, you should be only doing that for about 5 to 15% of your waking day. That's really important to remember. Let me ask you something. What do you believe? Do you believe that it's more harmful to you to do something that you're not, or to not do something that you are? Well, obviously, both of them are harmful to you, but you literally simultaneously, in order to do something that you're not, you have to stop doing what you are. So honestly, you can accept and understand and appreciate that to be true to you, to be organically, healthfully positive in the energy that you bring to the world, the synergy that you create with other people, you have to be naturally, organically the real you. Now let me ask you this. How do you think your functionality affects your synergy with people? Well, it actually is very important. It's literally vital for them. It's a matter of quality. Now, the question is, what's the quality of the synergy that you create when you come together to do these things? Because again, we have no choice in life but to do these things. So always, always ask yourself, what synergy do I create when I am being me? Okay, so the dynamics of discipline, that's the next topic. This is tough because discipline, you know what, when I was growing up, I thought discipline meant someone beating me. Okay, that's punishment, that's punitive. No, discipline is about staying centered. It's about having the skill, the ability to effectively, successfully master a skill. Wow, you know, for me, it was ballet, it was an art. When I was good at ballet, I was disciplined. Wow, art was a music. Music was a discipline. And I thought, okay, that takes a lot of instruction. You have to be taught how to do this stuff. It takes a lot of practice, but you know what? It takes a lot of focus and sacrifice. You know what? I was only in the classroom or in the ballet, you know, studio a couple hours of work a week. I was working at home. I went to the gym even to do some of the things when they weren't doing the I did this, aerobics classes. I would say, hey, can I come in here and do my ballet? Some people would watch. Most people, they were just doing their own thing. And I thought, man, this is tough. But by the time I got on my toe shoes, yeah, it was absolutely worth the effort. All the work that I did paid off because I felt beautiful and I looked amazing. Yeah, discipline. It's about sacrifice. It's about a lot of hard work, investment, focus, skill, practice. Yeah, ability. Your ability improves once you do all of those things. Well, something I learned, I didn't even realize until probably I was 12, 13 years old. She never said balanced. Well, you have to be balanced to get on your toe. Well, no, by the time I got on my toe shoes, she would always stay centered. Centered. And I'm like, oh, you mean balanced? No, centered. Well, it's the same thing. No, it's not. And she was British and she got the need to talk to me in front of the whole class. And I'm like, okay, you're right, my bad. Centered, centered. And she said, no, because the center is inside of you. Where is your center? That's how you get perfectly still, so that everything that you're doing with your whole body is still going to be perfectly balanced externally because you have your center inside. Well, Jesus Christ, I was 13 by this point. I'm like a teenager. Have you seen the body of a 13-year-old girl? And yes, it changes literally every single day. Now, forget the movements that I had mastered. When I got on my toes, I'm like, man, I look good. Yes, I was flexible and I was strong and I had endurance. But you know what? Completely gone. All of it completely disappeared, shot to hell if I got off center. Just not fair. That's not fair. I put a good 7 years into this crap. Yeah, but you know what? Once you actually are able to stay centered and you can do things, okay, the top of your toe, yes, there is a little flat. It's about this big. You get your shoe with your entire now over 100-pound body, with your arms and your legs going in different directions to music with a rhythm, and you got to get this hold it. Wow. I thought, you know what? That's not just for this. This applies to a lot of things in life. If you can't focus and be aware of yourself and your body, you're gonna lose it. And you're gonna fall over and you're actually gonna get hurt. You're gonna hurt yourself. And what if I'm with someone else? Because sometimes we did things as a group. Sometimes you'd have a solo. Well, what if you were in the group and you were in the middle of the group and you whacked someone and you fell over? You know what? You're gonna whack her and she's gonna hurt her and they're gonna fall over. And not only are you gonna look stupid and feel stupid, you're actually physically going to harm other people in your life. What's the quality of your synergy with people when you come together? Where is your center? How much time do you take to get yourself centered? There were times when she would say, you know what? You need to get out of the group and you need to get this on your own. You need to recenter. And the group would keep going, the music would keep playing, and they would repeat it and repeat it and practice it. You had to get recentered. There were times when I did have to physically, you know, I was still in the room. I was just in the corner getting recentered. Okay. Where's my center? How much of that was what I was thinking, and how much of that was about what I was feeling? Okay, yeah, you know what? That has my body, you know, and then I realized my body is a very small part of this ballet that I was doing. Well, that wasn't fair either. But you know what is an invaluable life lesson? It meant slowing down because of the music, sometimes it goes fast. One of the things I also tell people is, yeah, I like to walk. Walking, you can drive 3 blocks away, you can go up to 30 miles an hour, you can get there in 2 minutes. Well, you know what? 3 miles away, it might take you, or sorry, 3 blocks away, it might take you 10 minutes to get there instead of 2 or 3 minutes. Can you slow down enough to be with yourself? You don't have to be more things because what you are, you don't have to do more things. Actually, you're doing enough just by being high quality when you are doing. Okay, so now let's talk about the source, the cause, and the effect. Unfortunately, most people care only about the effect. If I can manifest something external in my life that creates an effect, that must mean that I have the cause. It comes from a good source. No, if you're still focusing on external things, you haven't found the center of being high quality, not doing more, not having more, not even having and doing better. That's about being better. Okay, so now keep that in mind. Again, ask yourself, what is the quality of your synergy based on how well you know yourself and how healthy you are when you are by yourself? Okay, so now what I like to talk to people about is the laws of attraction. You are not ready for a relationship until you are high quality without anyone else around. And when I explain to people the laws of attraction, yes, opposites attract. But this is very important, and not everyone agrees with me when it's about personalities and relationships, dating. But I've helped some people get it going on. It's very important to remember there are two principles. Number one, you need to be of a different disposition. And number two, you need to have as much in common as you do different. Yes, opposites attract, but like minds, yeah, think of that. You know what? There has to be a unity. There has to be a certain agreement, a facilitation of, yeah, I understand you, but enough difference to make you say, wow, you know what? You're keeping life interesting for me. You're teaching me things about life. And most importantly, if you have someone doing this activity, someone else doing that activity, we're getting things done. We're accomplishing things because we're good at different things. We complement each other. No, we don't complete each other. Again, we need to be complete in ourselves before we come together with anybody. We have to offer good, high quality completeness just of different things. And again, I like to use metaphors when I'm talking about different dispositions. Some people are SJs, they're like bones, they're strong and they're firm and they're hard. And well, you know what? That's what bones need to be. They're supportive, they're protective. Some people are like muscles. SPs are like muscles. They're flexible and they're active and they're strong in the execution of those different activities, basically the jobs that need to get done. Yeah, okay, they're muscles. Muscles are very important, but you know what? They're not going to get hard. They can lift. Yeah, we need to have SPs. NFs, they're like hearts. They're soft and gentle. But they animate, they support, they thrive, they help other people to thrive. The heart gets blood going throughout the body, so the muscle can actually get things done. NTs are like brains. They can get very, very active. They're not going to get big like a muscle. If they get big, they'll die. They're not going to get hard like the bones. If they get hard, they've solidified and they can't function at all. And you know what? They can't really pump anything. They just tell everybody and everything what to do just to kind of. They do a lot of the directing and the communicating. NTs really don't want to do the work. They just want to tell everybody else what to do. But you know what the great thing is? They're brilliant people. And the world needs them to stay organized and successful. It's very important to have the heart that encourages, the mind that creates and understands, the bones that support, and the SPs, the muscles that actively execute all of these different things that are happening in the world in life. Do you know how much people need to be different to completely get everything done in the world, but how similar they need to be in order to live together all day, every day? If you are going to sign up for forever with someone, compatibility is a very delicate process, getting to know each other. But concept, understanding yourself to be able to then even say in communication to say, okay, this is who we both are. This is what we both need. What can we do to make sure that we are very supportive to each other and facilitating to, for, of each other? So that when one of us needs to get something done, okay, maybe you should be the one doing it. Well, you know what? I can't do it. You need to do it. So I was like, but you know what? I'll give you the support and the encouragement that you need with that positive energy. What's the quality of your energy when you come together with someone who's different from you and they need you? Yeah, they do. They genuinely need you to either help them or to support them or maybe to do things for them, with them, around them, to them, whatever it is that you need, that they need. Well, you know what? Again, being still and steady and going slow, just walking. You don't have to run. You don't have to have more. You don't have to do more. You just need to be better. And if you can say to someone, you know what? I'm really low quality right now. Okay, I'm becoming very reactive. I'm becoming selfish. I'm becoming insecure. I'm competitive. I need you to let me take care of me right now. You know what? People appreciate honesty, and when you're good to them, and you say, "Yeah, I'm imperfect," or "I have a need right now. Will you please help me out by letting me get recentered? Can I take a seat?" You know what? Most people say, "Great. Thank you for letting me know. Take all the time that you need," because before we were at 10, maybe 20%, being very reactive and very narcissistic. You get yourself back up to 60, 70, 80%. Up to 100%, the quality of the power, the exponential power that you bring back into the relationship when you participate, you re-engage in that interaction, it's priceless. That person is going to get, yes, more done, better done. They are going to be a higher quality soul because being around you, our energy is contagious. There is no neutral energy. What is your attitude? What's your mindset? What's your heart condition when you're around people and you have to say, "I'm really toxic right now. I need help. I either need a timeout, I need some help, I need support. Are you okay? Are you okay accepting help? Do you know what help you need?" That's another really, really important reason to learn your personality profile. Then you'll know what things you need help with. And more importantly, you'll appreciate who can do what really well. You'll know who to go to for that help. Because when you go to them and say, "I need that help," they say, "Wow, you need me. That makes me feel special. It makes me feel important. I have a chance to give to you. I'm giving who I am to you. And me being me makes you a better quality soul. You just improve the quality of my life." Are you comfortable asking for help from people? You know what? It's very important, again, to remember in relationships, it's symbiotic. Both people equally importantly and equally influentially are going to contribute to the synergy of the relationship. Now, what I really do like is just when we're talking about sex, because obviously sex is always going to come up, there's vulnerability. But I also say that sex is kind of a fascinating just dynamic in general, because there are two things that happen. You're vulnerable, but you're very empowered. How can you have, that's a conundrum. Those things seem diametrically opposed. You're vulnerable, but you're powerful. Well, it's really nice to think about the constitution of an orgasm. I always call it, it's a dose, a DOSE. It's a good dose for our soul of healthy. The dextromethorphan, the oxytocin, or the dopamine, sorry, the oxytocin, the synergy and the endorphins. We get four different hormones when we have an orgasm. Yeah, dopamine, people take drugs to get that. Oxytocin, we get that when we're in relationships. Mothers get that from breastfeeding. Serotonin, we get that from different physical activities, playing sports. Endorphins, yeah, we get that from physical activity too. We also get it, you know what, just from laughter. We get those same four hormones from laughter. When we're vulnerable, think about that. Oxytocin is a very disarming, very relaxing, very, yeah, I'm going to take care of you and I want you to take care of me. But endorphins, man, they give you energy to get all kinds of stuff done. When we're with relationship dynamics, when we're talking about people and connection with people, we need to be able to trust the people that we're with. Whoa, okay, because we have power. Well, you know what? Power comes with responsibility. If someone is vulnerable with us, they are surrendering, they are giving us power over them. What do you do with that power? Some people, like this lady that lives over here, she just loves to abuse her power. She will literally find ways and reasons and opportunities to hurt people, to abuse that power, because that's her way of saying, I'm going to hurt you before you hurt me. I have more power than you. Okay, congratulations, you can hurt me. So now, when you think about what are your motivations, what are your intentions, when you're with somebody, if you have sexual relations with someone, you are actually getting to a place inside of them that is extremely vulnerable. It's very dangerous because you can do a lot of things to them when they are powerless. Well, yeah, okay. So then we think about how do you feel when someone is inside of that place in you? Do you feel like there's a part of you that just doesn't trust people in general? Do you allow yourself to let go to have an orgasm? You cannot have an orgasm if you are defensive and if you are afraid. You have to completely and totally relax. Well, that stimulation, wow, again, just to get to that peak, that absolutely beautiful height of pleasure where you have amazing energy and you're completely weak at the same time. You really do have to have your mind and your heart and your body, letting your spirit manifest in whatever way it wants. What's the power of your synergy when you're being sexual? When you are expressing something profoundly intense and very, very potentially bonding to solidify something with you, the other person, for this moment, no, for life. I really do, again, like that movie when he says to his sister, how hard is it just to decide to be in a good mood and then be in a good mood? And she says, gee, it's easy. Like, what kind of a stupid question is that? Well, his best friend also said to him, everything has changed. He's like, no, nothing's changed. You know, we just slept together. And she's like, no, everything has changed. You could be 50, you could be walking down the street somewhere someday, and you'll see her, you'll talk about, you know, life, news, but what you'll really be thinking is, we had sex. Everything is different now. You know what? Yeah, sex isn't a game. It's not a pastime. It's not just a hobby that you can go in. Every time you have sexual relations with someone, you are sharing your soul. What's the quality of yours? You are selecting people to connect with on that most profound spiritual level. What's the quality of their soul? I literally had a conversation with a man in the parking lot. I think he was doing something construction, maybe with the roof. And I said to him, I said, yeah, I'm very, very happy. And because he said, your smile is gorgeous. I said, well, yeah, you know, when you're in a good mood, you know, it's not a fake smile. It does kind of light up the room. And I just laughed. And he said, "Are you married?" I said, "Yeah, very." And he said, "What does that mean, very married?" He almost got upset because I know he wanted something and he couldn't tell if a silver ring was a wedding ring. And I said, "It means that I am completely in love with my husband, and no other man in the world will ever take my heart or my mind away from him." Yeah, we have good sex. Yeah, I like to do it a lot. But the point is, it's really got nothing to do with him. I am already this way before I come together with him. I said, "But you know what? You want a woman like me?" Because he said, "I want a woman like you. Where do I find a woman like you?" I said, "You would never go to a place where you could find a woman like me because you're the kind of man who would have this kind of conversation with me." I said, "Let me ask you this. Would you wait until we were married to sleep with me?" And he said, "Well, I said, "No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't." My husband knew me for a year and a half before we started dating. We only dated for 5 months. And yeah, I was a virgin when I got married. He treated me like I was worth the wait because he had a personal value system that had nothing to do with me. He was already of a high quality standard. His thoughts and his feelings were based on a value system that his body was able to perform. Yeah, you got to get yourself in a good, high quality state. Sexually, what we have is an amazing ability. It comes with an amazing responsibility. So ask yourself, when you're sexual with someone, do you love that person? They can feel if you don't. Do you believe that you're accountable for the things that you do to people, the effect that you have on them? Okay, so when we're talking now about just the constitution of things like laughter, you know, since orgasm is a beautiful thing, laughter is the only other thing that gives us dopamine and oxytocin and serotonin and endorphins. And I tell people a lot, you know, you don't have to masturbate if you laugh more because you're giving your body all of those good things that you should only have in sex with someone that is a high quality, right? Connection. You don't want to wait for a marriage mate, okay? You really do need to have more of those quality feelings in your life that are mental and emotional as well as physiological. Do you laugh? When you laugh, it's actually contagious. When you do laugh, is it fake? Do you see things in an amusing and an entertaining way? Do you appreciate things? Do you know how to relax? Because you can't laugh until you're completely relaxed. Do you know how to calm yourself down to get yourself recentered to be in a good quality, peaceful state? To be in a sound mind condition. Yeah, you know what? Sometimes I have to think of things that will give me that positive mental attitude. But you know what? Sometimes I can't. In fact, you know what? Sometimes I'm so out of there. I'm supposed to get. I have an amazing baby girl. She's now 23, but she'll always be my baby. She actually felt me through the wall one day, and she said, "Mom, what the hell is going on with you? You're giving me an ulcer. I'm 2 rooms away and I can feel you. You're giving me an ulcer." I said, "Nothing. I was just thinking about I have to pay a bill, and I have to go to work, and you know I hate doing dishes." She goes, "We need to go for a walk." I said, "You're right. Get me out of this place. I got to get out of this place to get physically out of this place." Yeah, you know what? When we walk and when we talk, we can verbally vomit. And sometimes we don't even know what we're thinking until we hear ourselves saying it, and that good energy that we created. I said, I need to pray and I need to hold you and I need to do it in Spanish and I need to cry." And said, "Absolutely. If it's going to get you back to where you were before I could feel you, two walls away, 2 bedrooms away, whatever. Yeah, I'll absolutely do that for you." People love to give you what you say you need to become a higher quality soul. What synergy do you create? You know what? Sometimes being vulnerable and asking for help creates positive synergy with people because it employs and it encourages their strength and ability and love and generosity. Yeah, that's a really nice thought to contemplate. Love is about support and encouragement because it's completely unselfish. What's the quality of your laughter? What's the quality of your love? because your love is what your thoughts and your feelings are going to filter through. It's literally going to be the last thing that happens. Well, some people say it's the first thing that starts. Well, no, I happen to think that our body is very toxic sometimes just because we're imperfect. Your thoughts and your feelings happen. You need to filter all of that through your love in order for it to manifest in a very spiritually healthy way for yourself and for the people around you. What's the quality of your love? Now, there's different kinds of love. What I feel for my daughter is not the same thing that I feel for my husband. What I feel for that woman who lives a few doors down, who is a viciously malicious, heinous, horrible person, I do love her. It's a very different love than what I feel for my daughter. What I feel for God is also love. It's a different kind of love. But what's the quality of your unselfish, genuine interest in others creating good things in their life? You might not know yet. You may need to take an inventory, and that's a tough process. And sometimes people say, I really do want to have a professional expert working through this with me because I don't even know where to start. I don't know what questions to ask. I don't know what approach to take. Even when I answer the questions, I'm like, okay, I got nothing. What do I do with this? Where do I go with this? Yeah, well, not everyone can afford an expert. I have a book. I have an actual workbook for people that is my coaching program. Again, I don't think most people are sick. I think they're just confused. And if they do things in a more natural, organic for their personality way, that will create health in their life as the first step to manifesting something very, very spiritual and very healthy. That will create good synergy for you in your life, but also in the lives of the other people, not only that you're directly interacting with, but who are around you while you are interacting with others. Again, ask yourself that question. Do you think, take the time to stop and think. That's intuition. Okay, just a heads up. As you're doing that, as you're reflecting and you're pondering and you're analyzing and you're synthesizing, you're kind of immune to what's going on around you. Yeah, you know what? Again, if that's your inferior function, don't do it too much. And you should always do it in the context of your thinking or your into or your feeling, your thinking or your feeling, because that will help encourage you to do it in a more helpful way. But again, that's also in my book. When you have the time to sit and say, where am I right now? Taking an inventory. What am I right now? Where am I going? Where am I focusing? Yeah, you need to be completely honest with yourself, but sometimes you don't know where to start. If you do go to an expert, make sure you have a specific goal in mind. Or that might be the purpose for seeing that expert. Make sure you get one. I'm sorry, but I don't agree with a lot of the mental health profession, right? Just in general, because they really want to try to focus on what's wrong and change you. You cannot change your nature. You can modify the demonstration of things that are not your nature. The way you manifest your qualities, your interests, your abilities, all of these different things. Yeah, you can absolutely modify your behavior. You will never change your nature. If you ever are told that you need to change your nature, you've been misinformed. You just need to know how to get it to a higher quality state. That means when you are doing, yeah, high quality things, it's good. When you're being high quality things, that's even better. So when we're thinking about what's the true problem, well, there's the topic, there's the issue, and there's the problem. That's what we're going to talk about next week because I'm going to give some specific examples of daily life activities that are really just confusing. And so people say, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I really don't understand what's the problem because there are a lot of things going on. I'll give you an example, something I like to say, two words. Confusing communication is a problem most of the time. Two words. Would you? Okay, if you saw in a text message, would you? Question mark. What does that mean? It means, in this particular situation, are you willing or able to perform or be a certain thing? It's just a question. What's the status? Okay, but the words would you, with intonation, inflection, sense stress modulation, Eye contact could mean different things. Like, would you? Like, I don't believe you would, so I don't trust you. There's, would you? Which is, I'm judging you and I'm trying to be defensive. Okay. There's, would you? That means, I don't know you very well and I want to get to know you better. There's, would you? And that is, I'm being defensive and passive aggressive, but insulting at the same time. Yeah, you know what we say? There's a message behind what we have just said. Well, then there's our intentions. What are your motivations? What are your intentions? That's about the quality of your soul. But there's the topic, there's the issue, there's the problem. That's about what we create, synergy when we come together. Humans want to facilitate each other. They want to encourage and support each other. Naturally, that's just how we are. We prefer to be good people. When things happen and they upset us and they divide us and they, we all hate that. We don't like to fight unless there's something seriously wrong with us, in which case, let's fix that. There is no neutral energy. It's either positive or negative. Indifference is negative energy because you're saying you don't care. There's something you have detached from others. You've also disconnected from yourself. You cannot afford to disconnect from yourself because then you have cut off all of your access to all of your amazing things that you have to offer. You have to offer. No, you have to offer as a gift. When you know, if you knew that you being a complete and totally authentic version of you is going to make the world exponentially better, you can literally walk into a room, let me get back to the number again, I want to get it right, and take 192 that these people are making, make it exponentially better to 147,456 just by being you. Wouldn't you like to do that? And especially if it's in a good way, think about that responsibility, that power can be good or bad. There is no neutral. Work on getting you to a high quality you. The power of your synergy, that's your power. Thank you so much for watching today. My name is Gabrielle Cardona with Synergy Relationship Coaching. This is BBS Radio. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.